the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Jim, what is my organization's business model?
Okay, so the question of business model may be the most difficult question, in that you come to a board and the board has a way of doing its work. And sometimes people describe the work without understanding the underlying sort of premises of how you work. And so the question is about business model, is agency identity, approach, and strength. How does my agency approach its services? And oftentimes there's a long history of how we do our work and why we do our work in the way that we do it. Are we a direct service program, and what does that mean about how we get paid? Are we an indirect service? Do we work for the corporation, or do we work for a government entity who ends up being a third party payee, but our clients, the people we actually serve, aren't the people who pay us for the service? Or are we an advocacy group who really focus on trying to change the construct of the service delivery system? And so the question about business model is how we do our work and how we support ourselves in doing that work and how we've come to that model as the one that serves us best. So a subsidiary of that is how do we address our clients? Who do we perceive as our client? Are we in the direct service, so we count everybody that we give something to or deliver something to or teach something to? Or do we look at our client as the third-party payer who is saying, we expect you to serve this many people, but a third party is the judge of what's actually being done? Mm-hmm. I was on a legal services board one time, and we were engaged in always looking for cases that could have a group identity. And so you would bring a case, look for opportunities to turn it into a class action so that you could, in one step or in one case, address the needs of thousands of people. Uh-huh. And okay. So there are a lot of ways of thinking about business model and how clients are approached, but the important thing is that you actually understand who the client is and who's paying for the client and what that means in the way that services are delivered. I think the last part of that, and all of these are partial answers. You could ask the question to 50 different people and mm-hmm. get some overlap, but one of the questions in the business model for me is always, what is it that could really hurt the organization? What is it in the way that we deliver services that could kill us if one thing went wrong? And that tends to be questions of funding dependency, right? If you do a particular kind of service delivery and you've got one or two primary funders, those funders change their direction, you could be out of business. Mm-hmm. Or you've been delivering a certain kind of service and all of a sudden you get a new governor or a new president.
Right.
And there's no longer any interest in that kind of funding. Not necessarily that the funds have gone away, but the business climate has changed or the environment has changed. And so you're always trying to figure out what things could really impact the life and health of this organization. And then there are always changes in laws. I mean, so if you're in an advocacy business and you've been pursuing a set of rules or law changes and the law has changed and that was all your work, mm-hmm. you know, then you can move on to other issues. But ultimately, the life and the health of the organization, I mean, we've watched the social service sector over the last few years and universities over the last few years be starved by the state and seeing programs cut out that were really needed. And so all those things end up pushing us toward thinking about avoiding sole source dependency.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It drives us toward looking for diversity in support and a balanced funding structure.
That makes sense. Thank you so much.
Please join us in the next podcast for part 4 of questions board members should ask about resource development.